This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 54 is where Pastor Sandy will begin today on this edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
Build the walls of Jerusalem, then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Psalm 52 is addressed to the chief musician, and it's said to be a contemplation of David when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 22 tells us about this dog named Doeg who ratted out David. When David went to the tabernacle at Nob, Doeg saw him. And he raced to King Saul to report David's whereabouts. Saul was so outraged that the priest Ahimelech had helped David, he ordered the execution of the entire priestly family. This Doeg himself took his sword and slaughtered 85 of God's priests. When news of what happened reached David, he wrote Psalm 52. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Hey, we need to beware. The sharpest knife is the human tongue. A loose tongue can cut and kill a person. Here's a riddle. I'm more deadly than the screaming shell of a gun. I win without killing. I break hearts and wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget, and seldom do I forgive. What's my name? Well, you guessed it. It's gossip. The tongue is a deadly thing. David exposes this Doeg. He says, you love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. Pause and think about that. Selah. God will see to it that Doeg suffers a worse fate than the priest. Verse 5 is an ominous prediction. He says, God shall destroy you forever. Doeg will become an example of what happens to a wicked man. Verse 6, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. The city of Nob, the home of the priest, was actually located on the Mount of Olives, or close by. David said he was surrounded by olive trees. An olive tree is evergreen. It grows all year, under all circumstances. David, too, will flourish. His faith in God made him an all-season saint. Psalm 52 ends by forecasting Doeg's demise and David's deliverance. God will destroy this Doeg, but David will be as fruitful as an evergreen tree. Verse 9 tells us, I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. It was among these very same olive trees on this very same hill, 1,000 years later, that our Lord Jesus was betrayed by another Doeg. Judas told the Sanhedrin the whereabouts of Jesus, just as Doeg betrayed David into the hands of Saul. It reminds me of the man who lived to be 100 years old. A reporter asked him, what's your greatest accomplishment? The old man answered, well, I've lived 100 years and I don't have any enemies in this world. Later he added, well, I've outlived all my enemies. Well, in Psalm 52, David is saying God will see to it that he outlives Doeg. Psalm 53 is nearly identical to another psalm, Psalm 14. Perhaps it was similar lyrics, but sung to a different tune. We're going to read through the psalm. For commentary, I'll just refer you back to Psalm 14. Psalm 53 begins, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one.'" If you're familiar with the book of Romans, you'll recognize that here, that there in Romans chapter 3, Paul quotes these verses here in Psalm 53. These verses are quoted to prove that we're all sinners. He says, "Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great fear where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." Psalm 54 is to the chief musician with stringed instruments. Apparently, this psalm sounded best with a string ensemble. And it was a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us?" I guess while David's on the subject of his enemies who tried to rat him out, why not deal with these Ziphites? For like Doeg, the Ziphites ratted on David's whereabouts. Psalms 1 Samuel 23 and then in 26 record the events that are referenced here. On these two occasions, the Ziphites give leads to Saul that help set a trap for David. David begins Psalm 54, "Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them." Selah. David never tried to harm the Ziphites. He couldn't figure out what they had against him. He says, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." You know, whenever I fly on an airplane, rarely do I think about the pilot until we hit some turbulence. And this is why on the voyage of life, God has us sail through some rough patches of air. It's how we learn to trust in our pilot, in our captain Jesus. It gets our eyes back on the pilot, puts our trust in him. In Psalm 54, David gets ratted out by strangers. But that's a relatively easy trial to handle compared to what he faces in Psalm 55. You expect as much from your enemies, but oh, not from your friends. And in Psalm 55, David has to deal with deeper wounds. He's betrayed by a former friend. His buddy joins a coup d'etat against him. You know, there's an old saying, "Against a foe I can defend, but heaven help me against a disloyal friend." David begins Psalm 55. "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me." David is under attack, but not just any attack. He says these words, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." David was no stranger to danger. He had his share of enemies, but this was no typical run-of-the-mill trial that David faces here in Psalm 55. No, this is something even more serious. His son Absalom has rebelled against him and wants to take his throne. David's friends are fleeing to the other side. This Absalom has stolen from his father his crown, his city, his concubines, even his counselors. And David is in great pain. So I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." You know, David's first reaction to this severe trial was to just run away. Have you ever felt like running? Just kind of getting away from it all? Here, David wishes he had wings as a dove. Hey, don't ever forget, God might have us refresh ourselves, but He never wants us to retreat. Our spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6 has no protection for the backside. God never wants us just to turn and run. With His strength and His wisdom and His backbone, we can face our problems and we can stand up to our enemies. Always remember, when you run from a problem, you take your biggest problem with you, and that's you. Deal with the problem, and it makes a better you. A London tabloid once offered a prize for the best answer to the question, "What is wrong with the world?" It was Christian philosopher G.K. Chesterton who won the grand prize. He responded simply, "I am." Verse 9 tells us, "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him." I'll never forget being asked by a group of pastors, "Sandy, what has been your greatest disappointment in ministry?" It was an easy question, really. But without any hesitation at all, I replied, "The wounds inflicted by my friends." You know, I'd rather face 1,000 enemy troops than get knife stabbed in the back by a supposed friend. And this was true of David. One man particularly had betrayed him. David speaks to him directly in verse 13. "But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." We learn from Israel's history that Ahithophel was David's companion. They had walked to the temple together. They had worshiped the Lord together. David and Ahithophel were more than blood brothers. They shared spiritual ties. But their friendship ran amok when David tore apart Ahithophel's family. Ahithophel, you see, had a granddaughter. Her name was Bathsheba. Ahithophel could never let go of the bitterness he felt toward David for violating Bathsheba and murdering her husband Uriah. Apparently, with the first opportunity that arose, Ahithophel turned on David and he joined in on Absalom's revolt. It crushed David to have both his son and his best friend become his avowed enemies. He reacts in verse 15, "Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." David cries out to God to take vengeance on his enemies. Remember, in contrast, Jesus prayed for his enemies that God would forgive them. David says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, Selah, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God." And again, David speaks of his betrayers. "He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." Ahithophel, he was a skilled conniver. He had pledged allegiance to David's face, but then he'd betrayed the king the moment he turned his back. David says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Well, Psalm 56 is set to a tune called The Silent Dove in Distant Lands. I have no idea what that might have sounded like, but the title sounds like a country song to me. Some Bible teachers see in the title of the 56th Psalm an inference to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is indeed the silent dove in distant lands. The Holy Spirit is in the world today, but He is a long, long way from home. The Spirit works silently in the hearts of men, and yet His ministry is both powerful and strategic. This psalm is also labeled a miktam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. David had gone to Gath, the home of Goliath, naively thinking that his enemies would grant him exile. Instead, they took him prisoner. He escaped only by pretending madness and feigning insanity. The psalm begins, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day, they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Here's an incredible comfort. Did you know that God bottles our tears? He doesn't let a single sorrow go to waste. Notice too, this is the first example in history of bottled water. God loves us. He cares so much about us that He gathers our tears and keeps them bottled up. For some of us, that might be in an 80-gallon drum. But one day, His joy might just compensate us for the tears we've shed. Who knows if He won't just turn our tears into a sweet elixir? That may be one of the blessings God has for us one day. But notice here the implication. God is so concerned for our feelings that He's aware of every single tear that rolls down our cheeks. Did you know God is that concerned about you? That He knows and understands your sorrows better than you do? He sees our tears as liquid prayers. Not a single teardrop escapes God's attention. You can be assured of that. Then we're told, "When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise His word. In the Lord, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Notice where he found his footing. Verse 10 praises God's word. It's the word of God that gives traction to our faith. He found his footing in God's word. Well, Psalm 57, like Psalm 16, as well as Psalm 56 to 60, are all labeled a miktam of David. But what is a miktam? There are actually three possible definitions. Miktam can mean jewel. That would mean that these are David's favorite psalms. These are his jewels, his favorites. The word miktam can also mean engraved. But these were psalms that should be engraved in our minds and hearts, that should not be forgotten. And then a third possibility is the word miktam could mean hidden. In other words, these psalms have a hidden or a below-the-surface meaning. Well, Psalm 57 is a miktam of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Now, you recall the story. David was hiding from Saul in the very cave that the king chose to use as a Jiffy Johnny. When Saul left the sunshine to enter into the dark cave, he couldn't see David's men in the shadows. As King Saul squatted down to do his business, David could have killed him. Instead, he just sort of slipped up behind him and he clipped off a portion of his royal robe. Psalm 57 describes what went on in David's heart at the time. Notice also the tune chosen for these lyrics. It was set to Do Not Destroy. That was the title of the tune. Oh, based on David's attitude toward Saul, how appropriate. His heart was, do not destroy. Saul is grunting as David sneaks up on him. David could have destroyed him, but instead he refuses to take matters into his own hands. He says to his heart, do not destroy. David waited and trusted God to bring about his will, his way. David begins, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Like a baby chick seeking protection under his mother's wings, David ran to God in the face of serious calamities. And this is an appropriate response for us when we also encounter trouble. Recall Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he recounted how often he had wanted to shelter Israel. As a hen gathers her chicks, he'll provide us the same refuge if we seek it under his wings. He says, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Notice the words, all things. They're in italics, aren't they? This means that they weren't in the original text. Translators added them to help with the readability of the passage. But leave out these words, all things, and the verse becomes a fill in the blank. It's as if God is giving you a carte blanche. What do you need? Get more specific than all things. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. God saw to it that David's enemies fell into their own traps. When Saul stepped into that cave, he was the pursuer, David the prey. But God turned the tables on Saul. Saul's life ended up into David's hands. And then verse 7, David says, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. The old King James translates steadfast as my heart is fixed. Like a fighter pilot who locks his guns onto the target, David fixes his sights on God. This is the key to following Jesus. No matter the circumstances, no matter the distractions, we need to lock on and fix our hearts on our Lord Jesus. And then David says, awake my glory, awake lute and harp. I will awake the dawn. It reminds me of the barnyard rooster who was bragging to the other animals. He said, every morning the sun rose just to hear him crow. Well, David has something to crow about. He says, I will awake the dawn. He'll wake up the sun. He'll awaken his harp to praise the Lord every morning as he arises. And then Psalm 57 closes with an eruption of praise. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth.
You've been listening to Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams, here at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is teaching his way through the book of Psalms verse by verse. As you listen through these teachings, no doubt you'll find yourself humming along to a popular modern worship song or maybe even a favorite hymn. There's no coincidence. Psalms could have easily been the first hymnal if it existed as a book during the Old Testament times, that is. Nevertheless, it was eventually assembled to become a book that inspires the reader to worship and praise God. If this sounds familiar and you'd like to learn more about how to apply these teachings to your daily life, head over to sandyadams.org. Once again, that's sandyadams.org. While you're there, check out Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain under the About tab. If you're in the Atlanta area, why not come visit us? We have services at 9:15 and 11:15 a.m. There's more information and directions at sandyadams.org. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, but we look forward to continuing this study with you in the book of Psalms. Pastor Sandy has more to share about how you can apply what you've learned from today's message. Remember the Psalms the next time you're singing a worship song or listening to your favorite Christian radio station. Thanks for listening to Sandy Adams Radio.